This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast, Friday Night Live. The last Friday Night Live of the season. We've reached the final game, game number 46. We obviously, for this last game, had to roll out the big guns. So to my, I never know which way this is, that way, I have the one and only Joe Zampa. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you? You're all right?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. We do have Chris, or as you guys know him, Chaps, joining us very shortly. And of course, it wouldn't be Friday Night Live without Mickey, who will also be joining us a little bit later on in the show. Joe, I'm going to start. I'm going to throw you right under the bus here. And I purposely didn't tell you this before we started. Can you tell me the last time that Millwall last won five games in a row?
Oh my God. This has got to be before the Rower era, surely.
Actually not. There's a clue for you. No.
Okay, so it's definitely the Rower era then, is it?
It is the Rower era, yep.
Right, okay. You know what, I'm taking a wild guess. I'm saying, was it last season?
That is very close, but not quite close enough. The last time the Lions won five games in a row was in February, March 2022. Right. I believe it was that spell of games. Remember where we had literally like 10 injuries and we had to play Zach Lovelace at Coventry?
Yes.
And I believe that was the spell of games. But Millwall can achieve that tomorrow. They can end the season on a high. They can go to Swansea and win five games in a row and see the season off in style. Do you think that's going to happen?
You know what? I fancy him to. I mean, looking at the... I went to the awards ceremony, didn't I, the other night. And I tell you what, the players were a great bunch. They're all getting on really well. So you see there's a real togetherness amongst them all. But that being said, most of them were quite pissed. And I'm sure there's plenty of time to recover. But there's one or two, without naming names, were pretty hammered. So for me, I feel as if like they're on the beach a little bit at the moment. So all I'm saying is don't sort of be too shocked if we end up getting hammered 3 or 4-0 and then, you know, they're perfect. Well, who cares? We've got safety. But there is that side to it where I'm thinking, you know what, we're riding that crest wave at the moment and playing really well. Confidence is high. There's a real togetherness there. Obviously, players like Tanganga, if Obafemi plays, it'll be their last game for us. I'm sure they want to see us off with a win. And I'm sure that we want to give them a win since to say bye as well. So, anything can happen. One thing's for sure, I don't expect it to be a 0-0 ball draw. That's for sure.
No, absolutely not. And before we move on, obviously, evening, guys, there's quite a few of you in there. Dan, Carl, Chris, Mike, Andrew, Alex, Daily Millwall, Joe. If you can, we'll do my Mickey now. If you can like the video and obviously subscribe as well, that'd be great. Joe, I think it's interesting because the last awards, obviously, I went to last year, it was from what I've seen of the clips, obviously, I wasn't there on Tuesday. Last year we were all there. It was very, I know we still had the Blackburn game to come and it was, you know, professional and everybody was in a different frame of mind. But it just felt like that Harris kind of let him have the shackles off a little bit. Enjoy yourselves. Embrace, you know, the supporters. Embrace what, you know, the people like yourselves paid a lot of money to be there. But I don't think it was, you know, sometimes footballers get accused of, you know, they play up to the fans and, you know, a bit fake and you know, they're only doing it because they have to be there. From what I've seen and what I've heard, the players look like they wanted to be there. They look like they're with their mates having a good laugh. And you know, obviously we've all seen the clip of Japhet Tanganga and the players singing his song. And we've, you know, Jake Cooper was up singing on stage and things like that. And I think it's, you're right. There's two ways it could go. We're either on the beach and, you know, they've been on the beers all week and nobody cares basically, or Harris is going to turn around and go, no, we're not having that. We are going to put in a performance here. And it's just really dependent on the day. It's the first time though, Joe, and I'll ask you what your thoughts are on this. That a bit like last weekend, that we can go into a fixture with no stress. There's no panic. There's no stress. It's not fighting for the playoffs. It's not fighting relegation. And it's a bit of a strange feeling. It's taken a long time for this to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, to your first point, I mean, it was like chalk and cheese. I mean, as you know, we both went last year to the awards. And it was very like, I don't know, the only way I could describe it, it's like Riot was like the headmaster. A little bit, you know, and he had his pupils there in the classroom, all be on their best behaviour. They're all told they couldn't drink. They're all told they've got a curfew, and then by like a certain time, I think it's 8:30 or 9:00, they all had to leave. Literally, they had to all go together. Whereas this time just felt a lot different. You know, Harris, as we know, he's a people person. You know, he gets the best out of his players. They all respect him. They all love him. And I had Sav on my table and Hutch. And soon as Sav sat down, like within the first like minute or two, he's like, by the way, I can have a beer this year. Do you want a beer? And I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. All right. I said, I'll buy you a beer. So I bought him a beer, bought Hutch a beer and a couple of others. And then thinking that's it, you know, one beer. And then within about sort of 20, half an hour, he downs the beer and he goes, right, who wants a beer? So he goes up around to get around. Then someone else gets around. Before you know it, like 4 or 5 points in, sort of thing, you know. And everyone's just having a good time. They're all drinking, and some of them on spirits, some are on wine and stuff. Harris had a few beers himself as well. And basically, what Harris said to them was, you know, enjoy yourselves, guys. Just be sensible, you know. I'm sure you could probably work out. There's a couple of them that took it a little bit too far in a good way, in a funny way. We thought it was hilarious, you know. Yeah, it was just a really good actor, but you could just see like how, you know, although it's weird because there's a balance there, although Harris trusted them and told them go out and enjoy yourselves and have fun and mingle with the fans and it's no curfew, do what you want sort of thing, they were still respectful of him. Like whenever he walked around and sort of stopped at the table and stuff like that, they're all like, you know, all the best behaviour a little bit, all try to contain themselves, keep it in. But it was just so lovely to sort of sit and relax and just chill. And you know what? They could have gone home early, and a few of them did go home, not say early, but, you know, at a reasonable time. But a lot of them just stayed right till the end.
We, for the benefit of those listening on a podcast,
I can hear a bit of a bat noise there. Can you hear that? It's a bit strange. I don't know if you're... I'm literally silent in my house.
You sound like you're from an episode of Doctor Who at the moment. Yeah, and the whole sound's a bit funny. My speaker's gone funny. Do you want to log off and then come back in again, maybe? Try and log off and log back in if you can hear me. That was really weird.
Right, so we were joined by Chris, but he's ruined the flow, ruined everything. So we'll get him back for that when he rejoins.
Chat with RoboCop, you see that?
Chat with RoboCop, yeah, that's brilliant.
Love that.
Also, just to clarify for anybody else, for any of the Millwall players or Neil Harris, if you are watching this, when Joe said that a few of the players were on the beers and necking pies, that's allegedly... We don't want any of the players to be fined or you know, anything like that. But
I need some media training, don't I? That's what I need, I think.
Yeah, we'll pull you in for extra sessions, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have now, I think, been Much joined. Better. Sorry, Joe. Been joined by Chris. Yeah, when you now don't sound like RoboCop, Darth Vader, all the typical, or as Beeline there said, Marvel villain. Chris, just before I come to you, I do have a question. I don't know if you've if you were listening earlier, but Mark is on his way driving to Swansea. Mark, hope you have a great time, mate. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Chris, you're a stat man. I asked Joe, he didn't know, but it was a bit of a tough question. When was the last time that Millwall won five games in a row?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I've just got off a work call, mate. Give me some warning. I would say it was when Harris was here last time. And that would be what?
That's what I said.
2017, something like that.
That's what Joe said. It was actually under Gary Rowett, February, March 2022. And it was that spell where we had like 10 injuries and we had to play Lovelace at Coventry. Do you remember, we put the same team out and they kept winning. Yeah. It was then. But obviously the Lions have an opportunity to do it. As we were saying before, you guys were at the end of season awards. It was very relaxed. A few lads on the beers. I've seen both of you with your pictures of Michael Obafemi looking like your best mates. We've all seen the pictures.
He was a character, really, Chris.
Michael Obafemi is an absolute character. I don't know what he would be like to manage, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But as one of the lads, he's quality. Yeah, really good quality bloke. And I think he gets it now. I think it took him a while to get it, just sort of, speaking to him, speaking to a few of the other players, obviously they didn't reveal too much. They're never going to, but it sounded like it took him a while to get it. And I think we probably saw that on the pitch, but now he is. And even he said it's the best dressing room he's been a part of. So it's great.
It's interesting because we were having that kind of one-to-one chat with him and we spoke about the Southampton game and he was saying about how fucked he was. And apparently he was kind of carrying a bit of an injury. He didn't really want to come off. And for those that went to Southampton again, you probably saw it yourself. Everyone sort of like say how badly he played and the rest of it. But he said he was fucked, basically. And he was carrying an injury. And about 40 minutes in, Harris signaled to him, do you want to come off? And he's like, no, I'm fine. At halftime, of course, Harris sort of talked him into coming off. He mentioned that the first few games, he just found it really difficult to get his fitness levels up. But you can see now he's getting to the player who we all knew and thought he would be. And so it's a shame it's only been the last sort of two or three games. I don't know if you agree, Chris, but we've only probably seen the best in the last couple of games. And of course, typically now, we're safe. Harris is sort of favouring Bradshaw and Nisbet a little bit, rightly so, because they're our players and he's a lone player, I guess. And he seems quite fine with it. But what was really, really funny is that he was also talking about getting one over Swansea. And he said he'll love to be on the pitch and he wants to score against Swansea, allegedly. It's just like a very kind of, I don't know, sort of down to earth, passionate guy. Loves his football, plays with football with a smile. He gets us. He loves the Millwall fan
good
base
style as well.
Sorry, mate.
Good style.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know what Chris means by that, he had a Prada tie that probably cost about, I don't know, 800 quid, and Chaps had the exact tie on as well. So they're the only two guys in the room who had exactly matching ties. And those of you who follow Chaps on Twitter, you probably see the picture, know what I'm talking about. But really nice guy. And it'd be sorry to see him go.
Yeah. One thing I was going to ask you boys on, and you touched on it slightly there with the best dressing room that players have ever been involved in. Tanganga's obviously said something similar. In his interview today on Millwall TV.
Said it as well.
Yep, a lot of players are coming out and saying that. But I'm actually going to ask you about a comment that was made by, I believe, Bart. I've seen this on social media today, that he made a comment along the lines of when Joe Edwards left, things started to change. I'm not going to exactly read the quote. I can't remember what it was, but I skimmed through it earlier. And do you think that Obafemi and perhaps Joe, and Tanganga especially, were two players that were brought in, not necessarily sold a dream, but they were brought in and they just thought, what is this mess? What's going on? You know, what have we joined? And Harris has kind of simplified that and gone, right, none of that rubbish. We're not going to do what you were doing for the first couple of weeks of your career. We're going to do it my way. And both of them have just bought into it.
I think the challenge is that both of them probably thought they were coming into very different, not different situations, because we were down the bottom then, but I think they were coming into very different playing styles and not playing styles that they're familiar with. So I think Jaff is more of a ball playing centre half. He wants to get on the ball, and whether he's good at it or not is a different question, but I think he wanted to come in and do that. And Obafemi is not someone, he kind of alluded to it himself, that does the donkey work, you know, the typical Millwall number nine like Bradshaw does. So I think on one hand, they were probably pleased to get the simplicity and the senior management style that Harris brings. But on the other hand, they're probably like, what style was this? Like, I'm not used to playing like lump it forward and having to run around and chase lost causes. So I think what you saw was that playing out. But as they kind of got used to the system, they saw that it was working, it was getting results. I think they bought into it more and more and more. Mm. And Harris, for what he may lack in tactical, you know, expertise, he lacks absolutely nothing in motivation and the way in which he gets players, corral them together. And I think what was ever present to me the other night was just how together the group is. Honestly, they're like, they were literally like a bunch of mates having a laugh. And it was just, it was really good to see. It really, really was.
Absolutely. There's a couple of, sorry, Joe, 1 second.
Go on.
1 second. There's a couple of comments that I've starred, guys. I will come back to them for the guys that are putting in the comments. I will come back to them shortly. Sorry, Joe, go on.
Again, just to what Chris was saying just then, I feel like we're like, I don't know, sort of reporters a little bit from that night. And it was a great night. And we want to share as much information with our listeners as we can. But what was really interesting as well, the point you made about Harris there, Chris, I don't think you heard that bit, but Sav was talking to me. He said to me that Harris is very, very underrated when it comes to tactical stuff. He says to me he's actually really, really good. And a lot of fans or people don't realise how good he is when it comes to tactics. And it was interesting sort of hearing him say that. It was almost like a little bit like he had to get the credit for it a little bit. And it's just nice for him to sort of say that. He didn't have to say that. He shared that with me. And he just said how good he was. Like, he has a lot of sort of research and oppositions on their players, and he sets teams out and gives them sort of tasks and jobs and to carry out and over. And I guess we always identify Harris as like the Harris of old. You know, they're very much inexperienced manager who's very, very passionate, very Millwall, very direct, you know, just get on the ball, 4-4-2, fuck it, just go for it. But it, apparently he's far from it. You know, he is very, very tactical in what he does. He spends a lot of time with the players individually talking about how he wants them to play, what their tasks are for the next game and ever. And it's quite interesting hearing Sav say that about him, you know?
Do you know what I think actually on that? And Joe, you said exactly what I was going to say. And Chris, I'll ask your thoughts on this. Millwall fans don't forget. They don't forget the good and they don't forget the bad. There's players that have come and gone. You know, you've had one notably that sticks out in my mind was Lee Hughes. Lee Hughes comes every time he comes to the Den. He absolutely got peppered. He scored against us pretty much every time. But they don't forget what goes on. Gareth Ainsworth is another one, obviously, what happened with him. And with Neil Harris, again, he's fallen a little bit to the Millwall fans don't forget what happened towards the end of his spell. It was going a little bit stale. We did seemingly run out of steam under Harris, and obviously Rowe had come in. And unfortunately, whilst we all remember the good in Neil Harris, there's people out there that still remember the bad. Do you think that perhaps the last 12 games and obviously tomorrow 13 has really eradicated some of that bad memory, and we are starting to remember and see the good rather than focus on maybe the bad?
I mean, personally, I think the job the bloke has done in the last 12 games should eradicate any memory of what it was before. It is a remarkable achievement to be where we are, top of the form table. The guy is just, and I really do wish that as many people listening to this could have been there on Tuesday night, because you just saw how much of a leader that guy is and how, like, he bleeds blue. Like, oh, I can't tell you how much of a Millwall man he is, and whether he's manager forever or involved in something, he has to remain at the club. I'm telling you, he gets it. And he is, just agree with what Carl Bracey has just put in the chat. Supernil Harris must stay at our club, and he absolutely has to. I think he left us, right? He spotted that it was going sour, which again has to be commended, because he didn't just sit there and watch it unfold. He knew it was the right time to go. And he also knew it was the right time to come back. So I think he's a smart guy. I think he knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. And the great thing about that is he's leveraged his strengths, which is galvanizing the club, as he calls it. But a lot of that is down to just essentially playing on the den and making it the fortress that it's been.
Also, Chris, to that point, I think Harris has mentioned as well in a couple of, kind of intimate sort of gatherings, like sponsorship evenings, that sort of stuff, where his reasons for leaving, he didn't go into full detail, but the last time he left, I think he was almost insinuating that he felt like the club, he took the team or the club as far as he can go with what he had, with the budget he had. And it sounds like he probably wanted more money at the time, but didn't get it. And there's a few kind of like, not disagreements, but a few kind of, uncertainties there. And I think that was another reason I think he felt that he had to leave, because he just felt he couldn't do much more with what he had. Now, him coming back, he mentioned it on a couple of occasions recently, is because John Burson's, what happened, it came calling, and he always made a promise he'll come back and help us out when we needed him to. He did that, but he also mentioned how this time is different than last time. And again, he was alluding to the fact that we've got a bit more money this time to spend on players, we've got a better calibre of players, and that was also quite an attractive proposition to him. So I think, his goal was to keep us up. That's mission achieved. Brilliant. I don't think he was looking too far ahead, because that was his prerogative, just to get that safety first. But I think knowing that he's got the safety, knowing that he's got a bit of money to play with next season, he's got a good calibre of a decent sort of squad, nucleus of squad, I think that's the reason why he's looking to the future now. And that's why he's probably thinking, I'm going to get another year. I'm not going to commit or say anything further than that. But he talks about transfer windows. He talks about how the next two transfer windows are really important. So that tells me that he's going to be hanging around till the end of the season, and he wants at least the summer and the transfer window to try and build a team or do what he wants to do. Now, after that point, he may end up leaving us, but I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to create something, trying to set the foundations again to then pass it on to somebody else. And then going back to your point, chaps, earlier, we need to have him in the club. Harris is Millwall through and through. You cut his arm off, he'll bleed blue. And I would love to see him in a sort of director of football position in the club. Aldo, okay, love him or loathe him, he does what he can. But for me, we need somebody sitting there in the top seat who's going to be coaching and helping James Berylson on this, and almost setting the parameters, telling the new manager when he comes in or wherever, this is how our club's got to be set up. This is how we've got to play. This is what we're about. This is what the culture's about. And we need someone of his level, of his stature, leading at the top and then, implementing that structure and then passing it down. That's just my opinion anyway.
Absolutely. Before we carry on, I've just seen a comment come through, and I'm sure you guys won't mind me interjecting here, from Ken, one of our longer serving Millwall fans, should we say. Sorry to hear that one of my favourite players since supporting the Lions over many years, Charlie Hurley, recently passed away. Not seeing many comments about him. Those of you that know, when I obviously started the show and first started, not long after, I lost my granddad, and Charlie Hurley happened to be his favourite player. So when this news come through, obviously it was very sad. We don't like to lose anybody associated with the club, let alone sort of a fan favorite. No. On the pitch, I was surprised that they didn't do anything, perhaps like a minute silence or an applause, whatever it is that they do. But of course, Ken, he's not forgotten on all of us. So rest in peace, Charlie Hurley, and best wishes to his family and friends and loved ones.
Well said, Stephen.
Moving back to obviously the discussion on Harris, Dan Riggs' comment here. He had a job to do, came back, keep us up by any means. Now that's been achieved, I think we'll see something different next season because he has the luxury of time all for
it. I agree.
I would say, and I don't know what you guys' thoughts are again on this, you know, we're all of a very similar age, kind of. Well, me and Chris are up, Joe.
What?
Yeah, Joe.
We are. That's right, yeah, we are.
I realised who it was I was on with. Me and Chris are, Joe perhaps not so much. But Neil Harris has been associated with the club, you know, throughout my, you know, most of my life following the club. You know, he's always been there. He's always been associated with us. And I'm not getting ahead of myself. I fully expect next season to be difficult. But I genuinely believe at this point that Harris's comments about leaving us in a better position than what we were when he took us over, whether that's next season and he goes into the backroom staff or onto to different club, when he leaves this football club, the person that comes in his place will have a really good opportunity to take us to the next level. I'm not saying we'll get there, but Harris knows what it takes to have a successful Millwall team. He might not be the man long term, but he will put this in a place for someone to take that over. I don't know what you guys perhaps think.
I think he could be potentially the man long term. The trouble is, unlike other clubs where you've got loads of money and a massive budget to play with, and it's almost like play football manager, you know, sitting on a PC. I get what Harris is doing. It's a very, very stressful job because you're working with a tight budget. You're having to play a certain type of system that you're constantly competing against bigger teams with better players, and it can't be easy. I mean, don't get it wrong. I mean, he must have a fucking hard every time he beats a top club. It must feel so good, but it's just every week is a stressful week. Yeah, can you imagine being a manager of like Leicester or a Leeds where you just got to set a team up and then go, off you go, go and do the business, sprint back 3 points. It's less stressful. And I just think for someone like Harris, who's doing as well as he has done with us, to do that over a long period of time, you know, we're talking 2 years, 3 years, whatever, it must take a massive strain on his stress levels, mentally, you know, physically, whatever you want to call it. So that's why I don't see him long term. Not because I don't think he's good enough, but I just think it's a very, very stressful job for anyone, you know. And whoever does come in will obviously have to sort of take that baton on. But one of the guys in the comment, I think it might have been Dan, not sure who he said it was, that it might be, no, it wasn't Dan, it was Richard Garver, sorry, that maybe keeping him on board and having that bit of handover, a new manager, almost kind of like showing that new coach or that new person the way, the Millwall way of working, and then pass it on to someone like that who maybe could take that next step for us, perhaps, you know?
100%. And I think that what we have seen play out with Harris returning, and Stephen, if we could flick Alex's comment up, please.
Yep.
Is the importance of getting the club. Because I genuinely think there isn't another manager out there at the moment that would have been able to corral us in the way that Harris has done and to get us playing, particularly 100%. With the home form, anyone else and Harris has. And I think we underestimate just how important it is for a manager to get it. We are a unique club. We like to think it. And I think every player that you speak to, Sab said it on his little speech dinner the other night, we are unique and you either sink or swim at Millwall. And if we all believe that, then you have to have a unique style of manager to do that. And then back to referencing the point there around resources, it's very difficult to find a manager that will get Millwall and also be happy to work in an environment where you're constantly the underdog and then thrive on that. And that's a really important thing to bring together. And the other point I want to make on this is, I just want to reference Hutch, and maybe this could segue into one of the comments earlier, Stephen, is that I had the pleasure of sitting next to Hutch on Wednesday night. And can I just say, whatever happens with him, and he didn't share anything, so I can't reveal anything and whatever. But whatever happens to him, he I didn't realize how much of a leader he was until that night, because it doesn't always come across. Like, he's not a massively vocal captain.
No, he's not. But
just the way in which he's very articulate, just the way in which he comes across.
He conducts himself almost.
Yeah. He holds himself. He is a real leader and he gets it. This is a guy that could quite easily be leaving us after tomorrow, right? And the way he was speaking was like, in the summer, we need to sign this. We need to go after this type of player. You know, it was very we. He gets it. He talked about how his daughters, all they know is Millwall. They've grown up being Millwall. He's a really good
Millwall. He's been here eight years, he said, didn't he?
He has.
I couldn't remember it being that long, but it was 8 years, yeah. It's a big part of his life.
The comment that Chris was referring to, would it be from David? Would it be Hutch's last game, and should it be? And obviously, you guys have spoke fondly of him. I've had a little bit of interaction with him, sort of around the ground at the end of season awards, and he gets it. You talk about Harris getting it, you know, as a manager and being a Millwall man. Harris, I'm not comparing the two. Neil Harris is obviously at like legend status, but Sean Hutchinson understands this football club. He understands. He come in. Off of the back of a horrendous injury record at Fulham. And it was, you know, people were saying, oh, are we going to keep him fit? Is he going to be good enough? You know, he's been superb. He's been an excellent servant to the football club. For me, as with sort of a heavy heart, I think it should be his last game for the club, but I don't think it should be his last involvement for the club. I think he's someone that perhaps the club should look at keeping around.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
What that role might be, I don't know. He may still want to play, I'm not sure. But David, in answer to your question, I think it might be, and I hope that he'll get some minutes and an opportunity to say goodbye to the supporters that are going, because he's been an excellent servant and absolutely deserves that.
If I could jump in there, Steve, to David's comment, as Chris will vouch, yeah, sometimes I don't have a filter. You know, there's often where some of me and Chris are sort of almost like planning an attack to have a conversation with a certain player. And before we could kind of like agree on it, I'm like, blah, 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 straight in there. And Chris is like, for fuck's sake, you know, and he kind of mops up and then kind of like sorts, you know, a bit more diplomatic and ends up sort of smoothing it over after I kind of like completely ruined it. So, there was one point where I think I died across the table, didn't I, Chris? I said to Hutch, so what's going on? Are you signing or what? You know, next season sort of thing. And he sort of laughed. And basically what I kind of got out of him is that he's still in negotiations at the moment. Mm. Now, that tells me he wants to stay. That tells me they must have offered him something because he could easily have said to me there and then, nah, I'm off. A bit like how Scott Malone did last year. Do you remember when we sat on the table with him? And he just basically come out of the blue like, what? He goes, yes, I'm off. I'm like, fucking hell, hasn't even been leaked out yet, you know? But Hutch did make it seem they're in negotiations. And I saw a little twinkle in his eye. It's almost like he wanted to stay, but didn't want to show his hand, like in a poker game. Into the point where I was messing about with him, Harris was sort of behind him. He was like that. He was going, like Harris behind. He wanted to sort of know what we're talking about. And also the fact that they gave Bart the send-off against Plymouth, but didn't do it for Hutch. And I told Hutch this as well. For me, I'm no fucking detective, no Columbo here, but, you know, that breathes for me that it's not the end. You know, there's still more to come. And I reckon they'll probably do with him what they did with Alex Pearce. you know, that last season where you when Alex Pearce was in amongst the change room. I don't think he played much. I think he came and made a few substitute appearances, didn't he? But they thought it was really important having him in the change room. And I completely get that. And I can see them doing with Hutch as well. So I don't see Hutch as a starter next season if they do try and negotiate something. But he will be, I believe he'll be involved in the first team squad. Now, the reason why they're negotiating, they're probably trying to set up a contract which might be a pay-as-you-play or a reduced contract or whatever, which is probably why it's taking so long to agree on it. But I think we will get an answer soon. And, you know, if I was a betting man, I would say, yeah, put your money on Hutch being next season from what I, just what I got in that conversation anyway.
I'd agree with that, Joe. I think the only thing I would say is that as much as we might sit here going, oh, yeah, pay-as-you-play, it's not going to work.
No
player, I promise you, no player will take a pay-as-you-play.
You're right. It's too risky. It's too, especially when you've got injuries.
They would rather drop down a league and have a constant salary. They never would. Yeah. So we need to probably eradicate that from the thinking. But what I get from Hutch is that he said to me, I quote, I back myself against any centre-back in the league still if I'm fit. He said those words. And you know what? I don't disagree. If he's fit and gets to run a games, that's not all right. He's a bit older. But let's not forget how a year or two ago, how bloody good he was.
And also this season, Chris, whenever he's played, he's never put a foot wrong. Let's be honest. I know it hasn't been often.
Bristol,
amazing. Player of the match. Man of the match, wasn't he?
He was superb. And the other thing he said, which I really liked, and again, it showed you how grounded he was, was because I asked him about Tanganga and the possibility of signing him and stuff like that. And he said, look, whether it's Jaffet or someone else, I fully expect the club to sign a right-sided centre-back and I want them to. And he was like, if I'm still here, that will be my competition, but that's a good thing for the club. So for him to say that, I'm like, that is what you want from a leader, right?
Yeah, he's putting the club first before himself almost, isn't he?
Yeah, I personally want him around. I really do. I don't think it should be his last game. And I'm not going to lie, Tuesday's changed my mind on that. Because in a lot of my post-matches, I've said, oh, yeah, this probably should be Hutch's time. But seeing him, hearing him, speaking to him, I genuinely think as long as the deal is right for the club, we should keep him around for another year.
Also, just to clarify, what you guys sounded like there is that, Chris, you're actually Joe's carer when you two go out. That's how that sounded. Yeah, I know.
There was a moment, Steve, it's quite funny, right? So with Bart going, right? So Chris says to me, I want to do an interview with him. I want to ask him. Now he's not involved in the club and he has got that kind of, you know, restriction on talking to podcasts. I want to ask him, but I don't know how to do it. And I was like, fuck it, I'll ask him. No, calm down. He goes, calm down. So anyway, we left it a bit. Bart's walking over to us. I can see Chris getting really nervous now. He's like, Joe, not now. I was like, Bart, come over here. So I jumped up. I dragged Chris up as well. I could see him thinking, oh, my God. And I kind of broke the ice a little bit, didn't I, Chris? And then I can't remember how the conversation went now, but he basically sort of alluded to the fact that he's going to Spain. He's not guaranteed he's going to be playing in Spain, but he's kind of moving out there or doing something like coaching or whatever. Or could just be retired.
Pretty much.
Well, but what did he say to you at that point? I can't remember how the conversation went at that point, because at that point I kind of had to shut up because I kind of got told off.
Yeah, I think my face said it all. No, I just, I'm shit with small talk. Joe, you're very good at it, so that's why we compliment each other well. But
I'm good at small talk, but I'm shit with the long talk. That's where you take over.
I start quoting all stats. Did you know, Bart? he just said, I felt that, because I don't know if you remember, we started asking about the George Long situation and how that made him feel. And he said, there's things I'd like to say, but I won't. And that's fair enough. I wouldn't expect him to reveal truly how he feels. But I think that he basically left it as, sure, you know, reach out to me. But look, whether he does or not, I don't know. But just the fact that he didn't say no and the fact he was very gentlemanlike with the request, I think says a lot about the guy. And he's clearly a very, very popular person with the fans and the players. It was very evident, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah, no, he was. And again, like, bit like Hutch as well. When you look from the outside looking in, they've seen it very kind of quiet characters are quite, you know, personable. But again, like even with the Tanganga thing, when they all got up and started singing Tanganga, he was straight up there. You know, he's a real sort of character. He loves it. He loves being amongst all the players, stuff like that, you know, and it's just a joy to watch, you know, just to see the camaraderie amongst them all. They just love, you know, their time together. And it's really, really evident to see that he, you know, he's a big part of the club, and him leaving, you can see why he's clearly upset when they announced it at the Plymouth game, because, you know, he loves it. He loves Millwall, you know, and that's so nice to sort of see.
I think I said this on last Sunday's show after the Plymouth game. Two positions for me that Millwall supporters will back you until the bitter end for me is centre half and goalkeeper.
Mm.
They're the two positions that if you really give your all and you really are, you know, you've got a little bit about you, they'll back you. You know, we've had some really good goalkeepers. We've had some really good centre halves. And Bart, for someone, he was adored at Ipswich. They loved him. They were very disappointed that he left the club. Mm. And for him to then receive that again at another club, a bit older, you know, and stuff like that, it goes to show just kind of what kind of guy he was, you know, always, you know, replying on, you know, little things, replying on social media to the kids that, you know, people that posted videos of their kids in goal, little Bart and stuff like that, and giving out his gloves and offering advice and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously for us and Chris, if you were to interview him, that would be obviously fantastic that, you know, that he hasn't said no. And I think that just goes to show that, and I think he would mean that, obviously schedules and things would have to come into it, but I don't think he would disregard it. And I think it just goes to show that whilst there's a lot of love for Millwall fans to Bart, I think there's a lot of love from Bart to Millwall fans the other way.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. I mean, again, we touched on that when we spoke to Bart. I think he mentioned, tell me if I'm wrong, Chris, I'm sure he said he was player of the year three times at Ipswich, twice with us. So five times player of the year, I mean, throughout, you know, his career is incredible. It's an amazing achievement. Obviously, you know, he's very, very proud of to win those awards, because obviously he knows his vote by the fans. It means a hell of a lot to him. Which is probably why the heavy heart, you know, he was a bit sad to announce him leaving and got quite upset and stuff like that, you know. And
he said even he shed a tear, didn't he?
Well, you mentioned about the pitch, didn't you? The change room with the beer. Yeah, well, he sort of sitting there quite somber when he went after the game. And he mentioned it was like a random pitch. He didn't realise, but he was kind of sitting there gathering his thoughts and sort of taking it all in, he said, because it didn't actually hit home until that moment when they announced it on the pitch and stuff like that at the end. So, what a great guy. It's sad to see him go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, coming away from perhaps players that are leaving the club or you know, Hutchinson's situation is up in the air, as we've discussed. I would say there's plenty of players, whilst, you know, people might have varied opinions on this, that I think still have a lot to prove in a Millwall shirt that will be here next season. I think, you know, you've got Kevin Nisbet is the one that really springs to mind for me that probably has a lot to prove, a new opportunity under a new manager. I think Jake Cooper, whilst he's been revitalised under Neil Harris, there was a lot of questions about his form and his place in the team. By myself, I'll hold my hands up and say that. I think there's still a lot of players that will be left after tomorrow's game that are at the club that probably do have that little bit to prove. Tanganga hinted in his interview today that whilst he wasn't there at the beginning of the season, that the feel around the club was that they shouldn't have been where they were. And unfortunately, he joined the club and that's the position that they were in. So do you think that those that will remain here, there is that extra bit of motivation to go, you wrote us off for most of the season and I'll hold my hands up, I did. We'll show you next year?
I want to say yes, but at the same time, there should have been no greater motivation than to do it for JB.
Mm.
And they didn't. So until recently. So I don't know. I'm not so sure. I'm also not so sure Nisbet will be here next year. Not based on anything I heard, by the way, but just I just don't. He would find himself, I would imagine, third in a pecking order.
I'll touch on your point there again. Sav mentioned, didn't he, about Nisbet to us. And he was saying about, out of all the players, all the strikers in the club, he said technically, he said Nisbet is the best finisher. Bear in mind, he sees him, you know, three or four times a week in training and doing shooting drills. The best finisher in the club. He said he's got the got one of the best touch. He said his awareness, his, you know, his way he thinks, his positioning. So he mentioned, like, unbelievable. He said the only thing that he needs to work on is to do a bit of what Bradshaw does. And I think we all see that. We've all probably picked up on that ourselves.
Funny that they see that as well, though, right?
They must do. They must do. Yeah. But it's interesting to hear him say that. It's almost like what Sav was kind of hinting a little bit was, is that Harris is trying to work with Nisbet to try and make him, not make him into a Bradshaw, but more or less like, look, this is what Bradshaw does. You do it. And I think what happened was that Marco Bafemi almost had to kind of adapt his game a little bit and be a little bit of a presser like Bradshaw does. And it's kind of helped his game. You can see how effective he's been for us the last sort of few weeks.
Well, look at the article, Joe. You know, you're talking about that article that came out on News at Den.
Which one?
The Obafemi article. And it talked about Harris and how he's supported getting Obafemi to be more of a Millwall type striker. And it talks a bit about what he wants to do in Nisbet, which is exactly what you're referring
to. I didn't see that. Mm. But no, it's just interesting. Well, that must be true. And so I hear what you're saying, Chris. Yeah, there is a possibility that he could move on. But I think there's a player in there with Nisbet. And maybe with the right coaching, with a bit of time, he's still young, he could be a very, very, very good player for us next season. And I feel there's a bit of a split with the fan base. I don't know what you guys listen to the show right now think on Nisbet. But for me personally, I think technically he's a very, very good player and a very good striker. And hear what Saville said about him. This kid is good. But he needs time, he needs confidence, he needs probably a little bit better coaching. And I think he could come really, really good for us. But I said it'd be interesting to hear what you guys think in the chat anyway.
Just on that, and I know I've been vocal about this in our WhatsApp group. Between that Millwall podcast panelist, it was Chris's idea. So I'm going to put it all on him now, basically. He asked us to do a prediction league at the start of the season and bet various things that we would, you know, who would be young player, who would, you know, get promoted, etc. and stuff. Every single one of the panelists, every single one of us put our top goal scorer this year would be Kevin Nisbet. Now, that was because he'd come with a little bit of a reputation. He looked good in pre-season. We may have had blind faith in it. I'm going to go on record now, and I'm going to say this, that if we do that again next season, I am going to stick with Kevin Nisbet as our top goal scorer, providing he stays at the club. Because much like what Joe said, I think there's a player in there. He's been very poor in certain games. At QPR away, I think you two were both there as well. It was shocking, and he was taken off, and Ryan
they all played bad, to be fair, didn't they?
They did, but Nisbet was yanked off, and you didn't see much. I know he got injured shortly after that, but you didn't see much more of him since then. But I do believe there is a player in there. The systems will change, and you know that come the summer, when different players come in, other players may leave, it may work out for him. But I'd certainly think, much like a couple other players in our squad, that there's a player in there in Kevin Nisbet. And if we don't get the best out of him, I think someone else will.
That's exactly what's going on. Going to Dan's comment there as well, about isn't Harris on record saying he's getting into Nisbet pre-season, or what it means to be a middle forward, hopefully get some scoring, which is again what Chaps just said earlier.
Yeah.
So I really do hope that. I think, you know, I don't think Harris would spend time with a player and give him one-to-one attention if he didn't feel that player was worthy of it or had the right attitude or wanted to get better and learn. So the fact that Harris is going out saying that says a lot about the player, you know. But as Millwall fans, we have to support him. We've got to give him time, give him a run of games. Again, I think one of the guys in the chat mentioned about the system. I think Tony mentioned it. under a new system, he may flourish. You know, maybe he's not a sole striker. Maybe he needs to play in the two or so. Who knows, you know? But next season, I'm quite excited because there'll be lots of changes. I mean, Obafemi goes back for sure. We don't know what's happening with Fleming, do we? He's got a year left on his contract. Would he sign? Will the club try and shift him off this summer to get some money? You know, will Harris then go for the out-and-out 4-4-2? Will he then sign a big target man? And then maybe have Nisbet partnering a big target man? The system will change. And I think some of these players will flourish under this new system. Maybe one or two may fall by the wayside a little bit. But one thing for sure is next season, at least the start of it, it's going to be very, very different to the playing style we've been witnessing in the last sort of 2 or 3 months, because we've had to play a system to keep us up. Whereas the start of next season, we all start on zero. We press the reset button and off we go. So I think we'll see a lot more, you know, expansive attacking football. But again, I think Harris needs the players to adapt to that system.
I do agree with you. And I honestly think Harris has kind of just said, well, I've got to do whatever I can to get points, so I'm going to play this way. But because it's been so effective, there's got to be a part of him that thinks, if I play this way next season, we could get in the playoff. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think there needs to be, and we as fans need to get behind this, right? That we need to have a realism that, yes, all right, there could be a desire to change things up a little bit. But at the same time, let's not take away from what we're good at.
Absolutely. And
I don't know about you, but I've genuinely enjoyed going to the Den in the last few months. I genuinely
even as underdogs, even that sort of like get behind the ball sort of tactics. And
exactly.
Yeah, so we're getting results.
I don't mind that. And like, if he can find a little bit more of the consistency away from home and almost like have a like a Rowett type of away form, you kind of got a nice combo there. And I just think we need to be a little bit patient with the playing style, because I know, and this is something else that Hutch said to me. He said, I know the supporters want a more exciting style of football. He said those words. And we do. But at the same time, I think we need to be more results minded in our head as well.
No, I agree with you. But also, when you look at our form guide, the last 12 games, we're top of the table, aren't we?
That's what I'm saying.
In the last 12 games. Now, if we can do that throughout a season, you know, you mentioned about getting to the playoffs, we could fucking probably get automatic promotion. You know, Brighton did it. I mean, I know going back a few years, but those of you in the chat, listeners to the show at the moment, you might remember this. Brighton, when they went up under Chris Houghton, they played a very compact 4-4-2, quite defensive, counter-attacking football, and they ended up winning the league, you know?
Yeah.
And they were deemed as underdogs that season because they didn't have quite the players that everyone else had. I mean, fuck me, they had Scalak play for them that season, who's their first team player, you know? So it shows you what sort of players they had, but it was effective and they got promoted.
Exactly.
I do agree. I think at home, going to the Den has definitely been, it has been enjoyable. I would go as far as to say that I would say Watford aside, the first home game where I felt that we just, it was a tip. We did what we did at Southampton basically and scored and then sat back and let them have the ball. Minus Watford, I think the football's been pretty good. It hasn't been just lumping it long. No. And hoping for, you know, there's a couple of times, and in the right circumstances, it is absolutely vital that Jake Cooper clears that football as far from our box as possible. So, and I've got no issue with that, but it has been enjoyable. It has been a little bit refreshing away from home. I've been to a few under Harris, and it has been a tougher watch. But again, you cannot argue with the results. You cannot argue with what. With what he's been achieving. And if you start like that, imagine just, and again, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does. But imagine in the first 12 games of next season, we're top of the form table. That'd see us top of the table after 12 games into the middle of October. And I'm pretty sure that people would start standing up and thinking, hold on a minute, you know, what's going on? And it could happen. It could. we're Millwall. We know that, that it's unlikely, but you never know. Couple of guys in the chat. We've got a Coventry fan. Finn, evening, lads. Looking forward to continuing playing you next season. After this year, not so much because you beat us twice. Now that you're nice and safe and can relax, who do you think is going down? Rotherham and Huddersfield, I think they're done. Huddersfield need a miracle, didn't they, really? So they're going. Just before I put an individual on the spot, Chris, Joe, who's joining them tomorrow?
I'd love it to be Birmingham.
Yeah, same.
I would absolutely love it to be Birmingham, which is a shame because I don't dislike Rowett. I think he's done great for us during his tenure. But I just hate Birmingham as a team, as a club, as a fucking city. Just hate everything about them. So I hate their fucking accent. So I would like them to go down. And I hate this thing with Birmingham where they think they're a big club. You know, they kind of give this kind of attitude that they're a big club. They're not a fucking big club. And I'm still haunted by that Stern John goal, a bit like yourself, Stephen. That still haunts me after all these years.
Oh, I saw that come up on Twitter the other day. I can picture it in my head, sat in my seat. It's awful. So for me, Birmingham, all day long. Go on, Chris, sorry.
No, so I'd love it to be Birmingham. And I think, look, Gary Rowett doesn't have a great record in big games. Let's face it. So we'll see. But what I would say is, Plymouth had no fight against. They were shit.
Yeah, they were shocking.
So, I know they're a different entity at home. They actually have only won 3 games away all season. So, I didn't expect them to come up and be amazing. Mm. But if you can't motivate yourself then, and they're playing Hull, who can still get in the playoffs. Norwich are kind of already there. So, I don't know. So, if I'm not, I don't know, but it's definitely one of them two, which is interesting. But it would be really good for Birmingham to have their new 50,000-seater stadium in League One.
It would be absolutely fantastic. Before we go on, we're approaching the first hour. Someone asked where Mickey Joe Rogan was. Mickey is primed. He's waiting to join us very, very shortly.
He's in the green room. Having his vodka or something, I don't know.
And
he's having makeup done, isn't he?
Yeah, it's makeup, isn't it? It's hair and makeup for in the green room. But we are going to be losing one of the panelists. Guys, I'm sure you've all watched him throughout the season. I do, even though I'm part of this podcast, I watch him every week, usually on a Sunday. For a long, long time, it was really depressing, but I made myself watch it just to hear what he had to say.
It's got a bit better in the last few months, hasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it has got a lot better, but obviously that's because results have improved. Nothing to do with the quality of your videos, Chris. But we have reached the last game of the season. Guys, I'm sure you'll all continue to watch Chris. He will have another video, I'm sure, out this weekend and support him with the videos that he does. Chris, have you got any final words for the season? And just before you go, I know you've got a couple of points. Can I get one last prediction for you for this season, please?
Prediction, did you say, mate?
Yes, once you're ready, I know you've got a couple of points.
Yeah, just a couple of points, and they're going to be a bit random, so apologies, but I thought just wanted to sort of share this with the listeners. So a couple of comments from Hutch from the other night that I think are really interesting to share. So the first one was he referred to Jake Cooper as being the number one name on the team sheet, which, you know, we may have our reservations on Cooper's form, but clearly the players don't, because he talked about how, I think his exact words were, Cooper is undroppable and how reliable he is. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting to share, because the players obviously have a very different confidence level in him than maybe some of us do. So I thought I'd share that. And the second one, I asked Hutch, what does he think the number one priority is for recruitment in the summer? And his words were a striker, a centre forward. And I said, you know, what type of striker do you think we'll be looking for? And his exact words were a modern Lee Gregory. So
yeah, that's interesting you say that, because even Sav was loving Lee Gregory, where we're talking about, you know, the strikers of the last how many years. And I was not getting into an argument with him. I agree Lee Gregory was great for us, but I just couldn't understand like how much he loved Lee Gregory and how kept on about Lee Gregory. It just seems like the players really, really, you know, saw what he was about and how much he meant, you know, to them. So, interesting to hear him say that.
And I'll put this one up there. Thanks for your post-match chat with Chaps this season, Chris. Unmissable viewing. I mean, what higher praise can you get than that?
I think I always spent a point than you. yeah, no, thank you for that. And I'll leave them with a prediction. I'll go with... Sorry, I'm going to go over 1-0 loss.
Get him off. Get him off.
Who cares? But I just think that Swansea have been... I mean, they got a draw at Norwich last week. They're definitely not on the beach, even though they could have been for a few weeks now. I honestly think we are now... so I'll just see some of the comments.
I've seen Tony's one.
This one, yeah, of course, yeah.
By the way, I'm getting a lot of good luck and all the best. Like, I'm not like stopping or anything.
No. I should have. He's also not dying,
by the way. You know what I mean?
He couldn't contain himself.
He's not dying.
No. I was trying to tee him up for an end of season finale. Not that he's dying or he's emigrating or something. They've just taken it the complete wrong way.
It was getting a little bit depressing. So
Chris, there's no P45 in the post for you. Maybe, but you, nuts, mate. You're good.
Right, Jen. Well, I'm going to love you and leave you. Thank you for having me on. And yeah, I look forward to hearing the rest of it back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and hopefully I'm wrong about the prediction.
Last one, chaps.
No worries.
See you later, fellas.
Later, Chris.
Have a good night.
We'll be back straight after this.
Language you don't usually hear on television. Millwall in London's Docklands.
Lockdown for 10. All in Millwall, ain't no free football off. Stand strong behind our team. No one likes us, but we don't care. We're that Millwall for podcast. Loud every Friday night right here. Legends like Jimmy and Phil take a share of a kitchen or two. Super Neil Harris, a fucking legend too. Through the good times when the strife would support the Lions all our life. This ain't no place for fancy teams. This is fucking Millwall through and through. Located on our very own John Bennett. The way that we'll come, let them have their say. Millwall till we die, that's the Lions way.
There you before go, you... welcome then.
Before you start, Alex's comment to start the hour. We've swapped brains and beauty ... for Mickey. Alex, that's you getting banned in about 30 seconds. But I'm now going to give hosting over to Mickey. You've been asked for. The crowd and the fans have been asking for you, mate. So
They've got their wish.
Our leader has returned. And also, just before I say that, I wasn't hinting at anything about Chris. I was trying to tee him up for a season finale chat with...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.